From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our special coverage of Eliot Spitzer's inaugural address. And with me now, WNYC's Elaine Rivera in West Capitol Park in Albany, where the inaugural has just taken place. Errol Cockfield, Newsday's Albany bureau chief, also at the inaugural, and Baruch College public affairs professor Doug Muzio. And Elaine Rivera, I mentioned before the break, I don't know if you could hear it, that I was struck by how tough he was on Governor Pataki and his legacy in this speech.
Yeah, absolutely. We were even talking about that here. He did thank Governor Pataki for his service, but he didn't say whether it was good service or not. And as clearly as you pointed out, later in the speech, he clearly took a swipe at the outgoing governor about his lack of progress for New York State.
Yeah, some of the other quotes along those lines. He said, easy is spending your tax dollars without consequence or sacrifice. Easy is saying yes to supporters and no to opponents. Easy is looking the other way while costs rise, debts mount, and families lose ground. Easy is what we've had, but easy is not where we need to go. Easy is what we've had, Doug Muzio. That's tough stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, if everything changes on day one, that doesn't mean there's much good stuff on the day before day one. And he just articulated in very, very strong language. He's firing shots across Shelley and Joe Bruno's bows as well, even though he characterized them as his friends, quote unquote.
Elaine Rivera, what else struck you about the speech?
Well, clearly, this is he has emphasized that this is the people's inaugural, and everything he has done symbolizes that, the public swearing in on the Capitol steps, even the piece that they played before he was sworn in. It's called Fanfare to the Common Man. They're serving something called garbage plates for at all the inaugural parties. It's from a local Rochester restaurant. It's a strange concoction of hot dogs and hamburgers with macaroni salad on top. So he's making it very clear that this is about the people. This isn't about him. In fact, he said that in his speech. He said, this election is not about electing one person as governor. It's about the people collectively elected for the future of our state.
You know, your phone broke up just as you said the name of the dish. What's it called?
Oh, sorry. It's called garbage plate.
Oh, garbage plate. Yeah.
Garbage plate. It's from a Rochester restaurant, and his wife had it during a campaign stop, and she suggested that they serve it at the inaugural parties.
So that's what they think of the common man and woman, is it?
What?
And he's doing other things, like having an open house where anybody can come and
that's right.
shake
that's
his
right.
hand, or how close can they get to him?
That's right. Well, I think it's going to be a receiving line. People had to come through a metal detector, so I assume that they'll be able to go in and just go along the receiving line.
Errol Cockfield, Newsday's Albany bureau chief, what'd you think of the speech?
I thought it was an excellent speech. I'm told that Spitzer wrote it himself, that his staff gave him some general themes, but he made a point of putting a personal touch on it. I think in sort of looking forward to, you know, a job where he's going to suffer some slings and arrows, he wanted to establish a sense of communal responsibility and communal destiny for the state, sort of spread the work around or spread the idea that everyone has to pitch in.
But there was a paradox that we were talking about before you got on, that at once he's invoking this, we're all in it together, we can't be partisan, and at the same time just slamming the Pataki legacy over and over again in this address.
Yes. I think it's interesting that, you know, the outgoing governor is right there in the audience and putting on a good face, but, you know, at the same time, you know, Spitzer is comparing his legacy to Rip Van Winkle. But it wasn't just Pataki. I think I think it was also to say that the leadership of the state as a whole has been asleep at the switch.
Right. Now, I do want to issue one slight correction from before the address where I said he was receiving a 21-gun salute. Apparently, only members of the U.S. House and cabinet members and the President of the United States can receive a only the President of the United States can receive a 21-gun salute. Governors and members of Congress and so forth can receive up to a 19-gun salute. I guess 20 didn't exist in that counting system. But so I mistakenly said 21-gun salute before the speech, and it was no more than 19. Could there be a pendulum that's swinging here, Earl Cockfield? You know, earlier this morning we played clips of Governor Cuomo's inaugural address invoking activist government, and then Pataki's inaugural address invoking small government. Now again, Spitzer is invoking the notion of being bold and progressive, use that word, though he attributes the legacy to the Roosevelts, not to Mario Cuomo.
But I think if you really read between the lines of the speech, you also see that he talks about lean and responsive government. And I think the folks on the left who are supportive of Spitzer are going to find that he can be very conservative on fiscal matters. I think when it comes to, he talked about accountability in education. He didn't just talk about bigger spending on education. You know, you really have to read between the lines with him at times, I think.
And Elaine Rivera, I don't have to tell you, some of our colleagues in the media have been joking that everything is going to change magically on day one. What do you think will change right off the bat now that it's the end of the Pataki era and beginning of the Spitzer era, and he has continued to invoke this day one mantra?
Well, he immediately has to deal with the budget, and he has to solve some very critical issues right away. Many people I've spoken to say that he has to have a home run pretty quickly with some of these big issues, such as government reform and the budget and the campaign for fiscal equity. So he's got to do something pretty big quickly so people continue to have the confidence in him.
What do you think is the toughest thing he will face on day two? Go ahead.
I think it's everything. Well, probably the most immediate pressing issue is the budget.
Errol Cockfield, same question.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the budget. I think Spitzer has made a lot of promises during his campaign. One pledge that he's made is to have all of New York's uninsured kids covered by the end of his first term. A big question is where he's going to find the money to do that. And he also has pledged to put out a property tax relief plan. How do you pay for a property tax relief plan and at the same time generate enough money to then expand health care coverage?
Doug Muzio, there was a news analysis on the Bloomberg News wire service the other day, not controlled by the mayor in this case, we should note. Headline, Albany may be tougher for Spitzer to tame than Wall Street. Think that's true?
Yeah, in so far as that the legal game is very highly structured with very clearly defined roles and powers and rules, the political game is very different. It's compromise, it's bargaining, it's pigheadedness, it's idealism, it's Joe Bruno, it's Shelley Silver, it's a different game. Not that a prosecutor can't play that game. We've seen them play it successfully, but it is a different game. But Spitzer understands that game.
But I also think, Brian, that when you look at his Spitzer's inner circle, he's brought in some people around him that they're more used to the sort of legal game or the private sector game than they are the political game. While he's avoided cronyism in at least in his first, you know, few rounds of appointments, one of the downsides of avoiding people who are really versed in the political process is that you have people who are sort of, you know, more about the pragmatism of government and don't know how to sort of work the room.
Interesting. Any appointments jump out at you, Elaine, as particularly interesting?
Well, for the most part, even his Republican opponent, John Fassel, was quoted as saying that his appointments have been very smart. People point to Lee Sander, who's going to eventually take over the MTA. He's not some kind of political, not a political patronage job. Lee Sanders actually runs a transportation engineering firm.
And was New York City transportation commissioner under Mayor Giuliani.
Right, right. And they point to Paul Shores, who's going to head the Port Authority. And people seem impressed so far. The only criticism I've heard is that he seemed to take a number of a larger number than people expected, appointees from the state attorney general's office. He had talked about casting a wide net nationally, but he seems to be reaching into the state attorney general's office and into his past for a lot of his appointments.
All right. Now, Elaine and Errol, we're just about out of time, but I read that Spitzer was out for a two-mile run in Albany's Washington Park at 6 a.m. today to set a symbolic tone. Were you there running with him?
I was partying a little too hard for the run.
Okay, all right.
But so a lot of my colleagues were, and I'm told that he was the adrenaline was pumping, and he was way ahead of the pack.
And Doug Musial, you're off the hook since you're home in New Jersey today. Thank you all for joining us.
All right,
thank you.
This
Thanks,
has been special coverage of Elliot Spitzer's inaugural address on WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. We thank our producers, Lisa Allison and Kate Hines, and our senior executive producer, John Keefe, for assistance today, and Dave Abramson at the audio controls. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 to talk about the hanging of Saddam Hussein and more. Coming up next, it's Soundcheck on 93.9, To the Point on AM 820. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.